Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So when I was thinking about this segment,
yeah,
that went way better than I thought.
Good.
It could, like, that was really interesting. I mean, that was good. I liked it. That was really interesting
stuff.
I'm
glad stuff you're happy.
Picos, don't act so surprised.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was Ahmed Fareed trying to sell that my points or answers were good last week.
No.
I was
genuinely shocked.
Great sell job by you. That's why they let you host the Freakness. What they do. Congrats on another good show.
Thank you.
You look so handsome as usual.
Up on the cupola.
What's different between the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness? Anything that, like, stands out to you about the difference of being there, how they run the horse race, anything crazy like that?
Fewer people,
right?
There were like 50 to 60,000 at least in Louisville. I think in Baltimore there were 10,000 people there.
Yeah.
The cupola is farther back from the track, and so you don't get as good a view of which horse wins.
Gotcha.
So that's a little inside.
So
baseball.
You were like, were you literally like looking at the monitor?
I was watching off TV.
Right.
And everyone goes, I don't feel bad for you because you still got to be there, but it's a little farther back.
Right.
I introduced the guy. I've met two governors now in 2 weeks, Andy Beshear, Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Right.
Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland.
Yes.
I'm moving up here.
You are moving up. Who has the better song before the race?
Oh, like the Bugles?
Yeah.
Kentucky. Steve Buttleman.
You
know,
okay. I'm just glad you gave an answer. I thought you might come out with the company line and be like,
well,
I can't talk about it.
It's funny you bring that up because on Friday they had the Black Eyed Susan, which is the Phillies, the 3-year-old Phillies run. The Bugles were out there. I don't want to put them on blast, but they were only supposed to run through the song one time, and they had two bugleists. One of them started to do the song again. So you got a couple extra notes from one of the bugleists on Friday.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I shouldn't have called them out like that.
Keep rolling, just like, yeah, the hell, let's do it again.
Hopefully they learned from it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I felt bad for them. But no, it is. I didn't follow horse racing before I got into it. It's a cool sport. It really is.
It is a cool sport.
It's a lot of people that care a whole lot about these horses, and it's just there's so many great stories with it. So it was cool to be there.
Yeah, cool. We got good sports weekend. Everything's going on. We got NBA playoffs. Baseball's going.
Oh, and by the way,
I mean,
America is open again.
America is definitely open.
Like, I drove.
You can feel it.
I drove to Baltimore because I thought it would be just as long as flying. I was wrong, because the traffic was so bad. And I was like stuck for an hour on the George Washington Bridge.
Oh, well, what? What? Wait, all right. Time out. We have a tourist that just entered the Northeast.
Yeah.
Blue 45, blue 45, check. Black 88, we're audibling. You don't go over the George fucking Washington Bridge and the Cross Bronx Expressway.
Yeah.
You did that on a Sunday evening?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What do I do?
You are a rookie.
What should I have done?
Zach Wilson. Okay, next time, Zach Wilson, don't go there.
I looked out my window and there was Zach too. I go, what are we doing, Zach?
You always, rule of thumb, if you're going to that area, and this is for anybody out there, but
in
just to explain this, just in this tri-state area,
The
Cross Bronx Expressway is the worst 5-mile stretch of highway you will find in America.
Okay.
It's, of course, the Bronx. It's densely populated.
Yep.
Our highways up here in the Northeast are 80 years outdated. We have three-lane highways, and we have 90 million people in one little area. And it's a bad area. So you always avoid it, especially traffic areas.
Yeah.
So next time you're doing a trip like that, hit me up, and I'll tell you how to carve through town to get back up here. the right way to go.
Tap
okay?
and Z. Do I go
you,
more
you could have
north?
Gone tap and Z, or you get off the, you go over the GW Bridge, but you don't. As soon as you get over it, you get off like you're going to Manhattan,
yeah.
and you crawl your way. You go up the island instead.
I should have done that.
Right?
Yeah.
And you could work your way up that way. So there we go. And you know, speaking of it, just hit my head. What is your snap count? Have you ever worked on an NFL snap count?
What do you mean?
You know, what would be your number, color, set, hut?
We would go in high school. We'd go go.
Just
that
go.
Was, we'd go go. There was no hut.
Okay.
It was
yeah,
just go.
Yeah, me neither. I got you.
So I would go. We would just go on go.
Right. Sorry. All right. So if you had to use number color, what would it be? Ahmed Fareed, the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, right? It's your first, like,
yeah.
rookie minicamp. All right?
And they go, you can pick any color, any number you,
can. You
want.
They won't even say that to you. They're going to tell you what colors are live. They're going to go,
yeah.
don't use these colors because that okay. means we're audibling to a run or audibling to a pass.
Yeah.
So what's going to be it?
Red.
Red.
Red's my favorite
right.
color.
We'll see. Red's not always allowed because a lot of times that means it's an audible to a pass.
All right.
Okay, good.
And
red.
Then four.
Red four.
That sounds
sounds like RAV4, like a car or something. Red four. Red four. All right, so let me hear it now. So, and I want to set.
Why does
hut.
That sound so bad?
I know. Cause,
red four. Red four. It's like I'm in the military.
Oh, what? I like. Did you give yourself a southern twang there when you just went quarterback too? You went out of the side of your mouth.
I did. Yeah.
All right. So number color.
Yeah.
And then set hut.
Red
set hut has
four.
To be all kind of one word. Set hut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Red four, blue 32, red four. Blue 32. Say huh.
All right, just stick with one though. Blue 32, blue 32, say
blue
huh.
32. Red 4. Red 4, say huh.
That is hilarious. I wish, if you're not watching, please do watch, because the fact that Ahmed went to Texas all of a sudden, it became
the
quarterback.
I wanted to be a
Red
Texas
four
quarterback,
said, huh?
Just like you. Just like yeah, I got to work on that.
Yeah,
that
we're going to work
sound
on that.
Great.
Hey, that's a real thing. I can remember
why do
being.
They always hike it, though. Before they get done saying set hut.
That's why you try to make that set hut. Yeah, if you're ever watching NFL films,
yeah.
right, and you hear them mic'd up,
yeah.
you can tell that the offense is snapping the ball really on set. They're snapping it on set. That's
right.
really, it's to give them that jump, right? So the center is really waiting for that, and that's why set hut is one word. So when the center and the offensive line kind of hear set, they
yeah.
know, oh, hut's coming right
Here
now.
There you go.
Right, and you have to do it. You have to try to mimic the starter, and you want to have the same – the most important thing is to have the same rhythm and flow each
right.
time. If you change it and, you know, here you're, blue 45, blue 45, said hut, right? And that's your normal thing. And then the next time you get up there and go, blue 45, blue 45, someone's going to jump off sides.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be, have a certain rhythm to it. So
Who had my rhythm, like, of all the quarterbacks you played with?
Oh,
red 4. Red 4.
Oh, that, I mean, that sound, you sound like you're from Texas. So Luke McCown was the only quarterback I played from Texas, right? He was hilarious.
Yeah.
Though. Quick story on that. Luke had a real Texas twang.
Uh-huh.
A great teammate, great guy. You know Josh, right?
Yep.
You could tell he's a great guy, right? But Luke had such a twang and then went to Louisiana. Gruden's plays, you know, are long-winded, and
yes.
it's you have to enunciate and things like that. And the first few times, you know, Luke got into a huddle with Gruden, guys kind of came out all over the place, like, I'm not sure what I'm doing and all that. And I can still remember because I laugh out loud thinking that Gruden got in our quarterback meeting room the next day, later that day, and was like, Luke, we gotta enunciate and just communicate a little more. And he's like, you can't get in the huddle and just go, you know, red, 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 on two. And we all laugh so hard. But it's part of the job, being able to talk and communicate.
At
right
that
away.
Point, the players can just do whatever play they want because we have no idea
what
you
said.
We'll just do what we
yeah.
want to do here.
Right.
That's cool. And if you, once I started doing my cadence, if you didn't skip ahead in the podcast, we want to hear from you.
Oh, I'd love to.
I'd
love, maybe that's the thing
Sam.
We should do. We should make people have to give their hard counts or their cadence.
Yeah.
Like, I think
audio
I'm gonna
clip.
Make you, you're going to work on it.
Let's do it. So
next
people can
one,
send that to
right,
us.
Right.
People can send us
okay.
their audio clip. Do it through Twitter
yeah.
or whatever.
Right.
Of you doing your snap. Pick a color.
Right.
Pick your favorite color. Careful, that color could be live, so or some kill or something
don't
like that.
Don't pick four as
don't
your
pick
number.
Four. It sounds terrible. So send that to us,
all
and,
right.
we'll do it on our next podcast
I like
together.
That. I like
okay.
that.
And we'll rate them. We'll see how good the call is.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. All right, good. This is an Ask Me Anything podcast because here's what happens. We ask for questions all the time. We can't always get to all of them, yep. unfortunately, although they're really good ones. So we're going to try to get through as many as we can here today because next week we're starting your top 40 countdown.
It's coming.
Of quarterbacks in the NFL. 40 to 1. There's going to be some shockers.
Oh, well,
you're
yeah,
going to be accused of clickbait.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm looking. It's been 2 weeks since social media shit on me, so we're due again to have them have something to get on me about.
But let's start our Ask Me Anythings with a quarterback question.
Yeah,
okay. About the quarterbacks that were just drafted here recently, Scam City tweeted the pod. He goes, love the pod. Been a listener since your Bleacher Report days. Pete says, by the way, 50% of the questions now, love the pod.
Love
which
the pod.
We've instructed people to do.
Thank you.
We will read it if you say love the pod. I think now we should instruct people to give a very specific compliment.
Right.
You know, like, Chris, love your eyes. Or Ahmed, great red pants the other day. You know what I mean?
You're right.
I think
that
if you
nice.
Give a specific compliment,
then you know you're really watching
yes.
and really, like, invested.
So
okay.
that'll be the new standard.
All
specific
right.
compliment to either me, Chris, Kristen, who's punching the buttons back there, or Pete, who's yelling in our ears
right.
to get on with it. All right. If you had to rank the 2021 draft quarterbacks in terms of their ceiling, if everything went perfectly, would it still be in the same order?
Ooh.
I think that's an interesting question.
That is
right?
a good
because
question.
A lot of times we evaluate on, you want to mitigate risk, especially at the top of a draft, right?
Right?
You don't want to pick a top guy who might be terrible. You want to try to mitigate that risk, which is part of the reason I think you liked Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Kristen, do we have the 2021 draft quarterback rankings there? So there's your top six if you're watching on YouTube. Wilson, Lawrence, Jones, Mond, Lance, Fields. So take away the downside.
Yeah.
We're just looking at upside only.
Oh, upside only.
How would that order change?
Ooh, that is a good one. All right. So I do think one and two are still one and two for me.
Okay.
Listen, the Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson would be very close. It really would be. Because as I've explained too, Trevor Lawrence still has some untapped potential. And I believe Zach Wilson does too. But like Trevor Lawrence, you know, I know I said when I'm breaking it down, if he could fix some mechanical issues and a few things here and there, he does have the potential to have the strongest arm in football and all of that. So it's right up there with Zach Wilson as far as everything goes right, they reach all their potential, where I just go, okay, it could be superstar. All these guys have a lot of positives to look at as far as that's concerned. Now, after you get to that point right there,
yep.
that's where it gets interesting. And I think that's where, if we were just going all positives here and they were going to really, I might be, this is where I'd maybe make Justin Fields number three.
Hmm.
I'd make him the next guy. You know, because first off, his running is the most elite of the group. You know, you've heard me say Cam Newton-esque in his build.
Yep.
And he moves really probably better than Cam Newton did coming out of college as far as quickness and just being able to make people miss and doing that stuff. His arm, as we've seen, is freaky strong.
Yep.
It's freaky strong. It's the negatives that, of course, hurt him in my eyes.
Yep.
So I would say I put him three. And then after that, everything with it, and we're just going total potential here.
Yep.
I'm going to say Trey Lance four, Kellen Mond five, Mac Jones six.
Hmm.
I am. Yeah. You know, of course, that's not reality. Like you said, you have to mitigate risk and figure out hey, this is great. This isn't as good. Is this fixable? You know, could this great thing come down a little bit? All of those type of things have to be balanced in evaluating those things. But I think, like, in the perfect world, again, if Justin Fields can fix that issue that I've talked about with him throwing the football and
yeah.
some of those things, I would go, oh, no, he could be up in the class with the Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson's of the world.
Right.
But the big thing is, of course, to me, that's a big if. I'm not sold that it can be fixed, and it's not easily fixed. So that's why, you know, you've seen me have some hesitation about him at times.
And I think that's where people get tripped up on potential.
Like, agreed.
If you're not likely to reach that potential, then it doesn't matter how
yes.
much potential you have or how much upside you have. Who knows, though?
There's different. You're right, though. There's different views. Let's just say, like, Josh Allen. Hey, there was a lot of people there that saw the talent and things like that, right?
Yeah.
But they were like, ooh, you know, there's things that concern me about his accuracy. I don't see the potential quite getting there, right?
Right.
You know, and then there was the other ones that did, right? So it is. It's about some. You're not always going to be right. I know I've been wrong on this thing, too.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're trying to take into account what you think can be done about the weak things to get them better.
Well, like look at all of that. Like a quarterback like Terrell Pryor.
Sure.
Right? You say like super strong arm. What a great athlete, can play all over the field. If he can reach his full potential, there's not many that are going to be better than him out there. And he just didn't reach that full potential
in the
NFL.
No, and I think that's, you know, it's actually a very good example by you. You're right. Because he could have been superstar at the position if it all goes right.
Yeah.
But there was inconsistencies in that throwing. And too many throws, and not to like where I'm saying it's comparable to Justin Fields. I don't want anybody to take this wrong thing.
Yeah.
But to your point, though, just throws where when he was coming out of college, you just went, no, that's you got to hit that as an NFL quarterback. You don't miss that. And that's why he – you know, fell maybe where he was. But, yeah, it's about that, and we'll see. You know, that's what's interesting, and that's what was crazy about this year's draft. That's why it was such a controversial year. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Mac Jones isn't as talented as those guys, but he had very few things you had to really worry about fixing in his game. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Lance and Fields had some superstar aspects about their skill level and things, but also some things where I'd go, ooh, that would really worry me. So that's why it was such a controversial year with these top five QBs.
Related to that last question, one from Rob Foster.
Rob Foster.
Where would Jordan Love fall in with the quarterbacks of the 2021 class? And by the way, I heard some rumor, or some not some rumors, but some people speculating and throwing out there the idea that I did on this very pod, to toot my own horn, of what if the Packers just ended up trading Jordan Love instead of Aaron Rodgers, and that's how they fix the situation, but that's a discussion for another time. Where would Jordan Love, out of these six quarterbacks that we just went through, where would he rank?
He wouldn't rank in I really think he'd be towards the bottom here.
Hmm.
You know, again,
you liked Jordan Love.
I liked Jordan Love. I ended up putting Tua back in front of him, right,
you did,
as we went through the process. You know, Tua, his talent is not as good as Lance or Fields, but of course played more. There was less to fix. There's a little more polish and those type of things, right? So I'd probably put Jordan Love seventh out of this group right here. I would, yeah. And again, it's not a knock on Jordan Love or anything like that. But Jordan Love falls in line with kind of those guys there at the end, you know. I fell in love with Jordan Love when I first started to watch him last year. That's why I put him in front of Tua at first. I kind of got in love with the good.
Yeah.
And became too in love with that. Until, like, I think we've talked about it here live on the podcast. My dad really was the one that was like, really, Christopher? Are you sure?
You're and embarrassing kinda, yourself.
Well, it kind of made me sit back and just think about it again a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you went through it and you went, yeah, man, it is raw. It's really raw. His good is really good. But his bad was very raw, needs polished, and you worry about, you know, can it be fixed too? The same type of thing, let alone, you know, it's at a lesser level of a Justin Fields and equal to Lance and everything like that. But even with Lance and inconsistencies in the throwing that he had, they weren't as great as Jordan Love's. Jordan Love's inconsistencies were real. Some of his great throws were through the roof great. But his bad throws were through the floor bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which just shows you how good of a draft class this was.
It is
this year.
Listen, we could be sitting here and going all five fucking guys are really good starting quarterbacks 5 years from now. I'd not be shocked. I hope I made myself clear. I said I had a hard time ranking these guys this year. It was not easy. It's not. It's really rare that we had – like, just this mix of guys of, hey, Zach Wilson, yeah, it's BYU. And, yeah, he had those questions about, you know, injury and why wasn't he the starter? And then there's the Trevor Lawrence, the god of the group, right? We got him. And then, yeah, we got, you know, just the controversial aspects of Lance Fields and Mac Jones where there was just questions about all of them. Very weird that way.
So here's one on the Chicago Bears situation and what they're looking at this year. Jimmy 1010. Isn't the Fields-Dalton situation identical to the Mahomes-Smith situation a few years ago? Fields could sit this entire year and get the coaching that Sims thinks he needs.
Yeah, well, it is. It definitely is. I mean, I think there's a lot of things you can look at as a parallel to that. Now, the other thing I think that's a little different, at least, you know, Alex Smith is better than Andy Dalton was at that point of his career. And, I mean, Alex Smith is, you know, going to be the number one rated quarterback, I believe, that last year in Kansas City. And listen, I will still sit here and tell you, I know it's easy to sit here and go, well, look, they did it with Mahomes and it worked out well. I have zero doubt if they started Mahomes as a rookie, they still would have made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe not the number two seed like they were with Alex Smith that year or whatever, but I have no doubts that they still make the playoffs and that he still has a year where we go, that was pretty awesome. That was just a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're all like after the fact, you know, so smart and like, see, they did that. That worked. I mean, yeah, it was good. But I don't know. Who's to say if he didn't play as a rookie that second year, he wouldn't have thrown for 58 touchdown passes and been that much better?
Yeah.
You know, I think that kind of gets swept under the rug in that conversation at times, too. And, you know, you could get away with doing that a little bit more in Kansas City because of where the team was at. Like Chicago, I feel like you might be a little more antsy because you're like, all right, we're not really a Super Bowl team yet. So let's get this guy out there and get him playing. Right. Where in Kansas City, there was still like, no, we're kind of good. Like, this is awesome. We got Mahomes, but Alex Smith has been good, and we might come out of the AFC this year.
Yeah, there could be some growing pains that could mess this up for us.
Right. So there's that's where I think it's a little different from the situations are concerned as compared to this Bears one.
What do you think, Chicago? I mean, they were a playoff team last year.
Yeah, yeah.
8-8.
Yeah.
Got Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Got Justin Fields waiting in the wings. I mean, they should be able to be about the same this year, don't you think?
I would think so. I think it's just going to be about, you know, that's why I'm interested to see how they formulate this offense.
Yeah.
You know, around Fields or Andy Dalton or whatever it may be.
That is interesting because it's like two totally different quarterbacks.
Yes, two totally different quarterbacks. I mean, with Andy, I mean, you're going to run, they're going to run their traditional offense or I guess something of what we saw towards the end of last year.
So what do you do? All training camp, you're installing the Andy Dalton offense?
I think that. Yeah, for the most part, you are. Now, if they continue what they did last year, it shouldn't be too big of a deal. Where we saw last year, we talked about Trubisky, and it became run the ball, play action, boots. They became very similar to that, right? If they keep that as the staple of their offense, right, then it shouldn't affect anything the way they do it. They can go, okay, hey, Justin, you got to do these plays. We're going to really accentuate them even more when you get in there because of your ability to move and get on the edge and do all that. Then when it comes to, like, hey, red zone, drop back passes, things like that. You know, even if you're running a Lamar Jackson type offense, you're still going to have to do the drop back pass offenses and red zone stuff and all of that too. So it's good reps for him. You know, so I don't think it's going to really affect their offense and their game planning, I guess is what I'm basically saying to you, Ahmed.
Yeah.
The big thing is that Fields is in there. Yeah, they might have some more quarterback design runs and things like that to go along with it. They're not the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't have the weapons. They don't have a quarterback can throw that way. And Matt Nagy is not Andy Reid or Bieniemy that way either with his creativity and the way that offense looks.
Right, right. Defensively, they still should be good.
Very good.
Right?
That's where I go. That's where, like, again, we're not winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Like, if Fields is just – if you feel like he can start, do it. Why? You know, like you just said – they're best to run the ball, boots, quarterback runs, play through your defense, win the game 20-17.
Yeah.
They're built to win that way. Fields can play that. That's where I don't think it's crazy as long as he can handle the playbook and things like that of him being a starter.
And it does seem like the fact that they drafted or were given permission to draft Justin Fields, Matt Nagy, he's got another year.
You would think he's got the ability to get the growing pains out. Yeah,
yeah,
agreed.
So you can do that.
Agreed.
This one comes from John Coleman. Love the show from across the pond.
What up, John?
Who is the best quarterback who did not win the Super Bowl because they got drafted on a poor team? Cheers, John from Chesterfield, England.
Ooh, so, all right. Well, there's a lot. I mean, over time or right now, you know? I mean, listen, right now, the poster child for that is your ex-quarterback. I mean, to me, Matt Stafford is the best quarterback right now of this era or the last 15 years. Where you just go, no, that's a true franchise. Nobody's going to challenge him to even be the starting quarterback for a long time, and they're still not for a few years. Even going to be a question about that, and he's never been in a position to succeed or help out.
Like if he's on New England instead of Tom Brady,
they've won in Super Bowls. He's got a whole fistful of them. I'm sorry. Yes. Does he have them all? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. No, can he bring them back from 28-3? I don't know that. That's where Brady is special, but. Yeah, I think he could have beat the Rams 13-3. I do.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't try to be disrespectful that way.
Yeah,
So that's to me the modern-day poster child, I guess, of, like, guy that is definitely a Super Bowl caliber, Super Bowl MVP winning type of talent and quarterback that has been nowhere near that.
So all time, the name that always comes up is Dan Marino.
Right. Marino's the number one guy. You know, they just never really put a complete team around him. Mm-hmm. And it became just about him throwing the ball and doing all that. Dan Fouts, similar story, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How about Warren Moon? I would say that's another guy that jumps up there. I mean, Warren Moon, you say what you want. You know, he's right there with Dan Marino. He's an all-time great quarterback. You know, again, you put Warren Moon on the Giants, I mean, get it. In the 80s, he's going to win a Super Bowl. That's disrespect to my dad. Yeah. Warren Moon's awesome. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, Archie Manning, I'll throw him out there. I think he was Super Bowl talent quarterback. And who else am I missing? Oh, I'll give you one other one that I just always pops into my head because I feel like he's another disrespected, I think, really under the radar, great quarterback of our generation. I'm going to give you Matt Hasselbeck. I think Matt Hasselbeck was a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Wow.
Listen, he can't catch the balls in that Super Bowl either. If they caught the balls, they would have beat the Steelers. I mean, he played really good. Anybody go back and watch that game? I mean, Seattle should have been up like 20-6 at one point. I mean, he played awesome. To me, he was a Super Bowl winning quarterback too. Not a superstar, but a Super Bowl winning quarterback who, you know, again, is not a Hall of Famer, but right on the edge of it for my money and like a legend. What'd you say, Pete, in my ear?
Bad refereeing.
Oh, bad refereeing, right? That was the controversial goal line stand, right, with the touchdown. You know, and the big thing was, I mean, he just had some throws with the Jeremy Stevens and a few the game where it just was like would have been a whole different game if they caught the ball.
This one's kind of related.
Yeah.
RLZ54, frequent contributor to
Real
the pod here.
Real 54.
Over the years, what quarterback draft bust would have been solid if they were drafted to a different team? I personally think David Carr and Mitch Trubisky. That's what RLZ54 says. So who was a bust that was a bust because of who they played for and actually would have been a decent quarterback in a better situation? Like David Carr is that way because that offensive line was so bad. He had no time. Do you subscribe to that? Like for David Carr, the start of his career was so bad that it stunted his growth and he could never become, or would he have never been a great quarterback?
No, I think that different situations, he certainly could have shown more potential than what he did. Yeah. I think he was definitely scarred by the team he was put on early on in his career. And then, as I always talk about too, the perception really becomes such a harsh reality that you have a hard time fighting through it. Even the coaches will see it the same way. Well, he couldn't get it done in Houston. And you want to be like, hey, fuck stick. I had nobody blocking. Nobody could get open. Like, how can you say that?
Yeah.
But the coaches have been influenced by that perception that's put out there as well. Let me try to think here. Like quarterbacks that I think that, you know, busts, right? That's what we're talking about. That could have been different.
Johnny Manziel.
No.
Okay.
All right. I'm not going to subscribe to that.
Tim Tebow.
Negative.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think of like sheer busts, right? That have come out of here. I mean, yeah, Sam Darnold, he's definitely come to my mind. Yes. I mean, Sam Darnold has been in a horrible situation. I can even go to Mark Sanchez. You know, again, a lot of people are going to look at it and go, well, he went to two AFC championships. They didn't do him any good, though.
Yeah.
He just handed the ball off and made, like, a throw here and a throw there, and they never really grew him as a player. They just kept going like, well, he doesn't fuck up the game, and we got Rex's defense, so let's just keep doing that. So that didn't necessarily, like, help him out either.
Right.
I know I'm missing somebody else. You know, RG3 shouldn't have been a bust as the number one pick in the draft. His bust was nothing to do with him on the field. Had everything to do with him as the person. So that screwed him over. Anybody else recent here that I'm not thinking of? I wish I would have been more.
Sam Bradford.
I said, I don't know if I'm going to go. Bradford, of course, could have been better, but I'm not going to.
He got opportunities. He
had enough opportunities. Right,
yeah.
Right. I don't know. I'm sorry. I wish I would have been more prepared for that one.
I think that's a lot of good quarterbacks there. EJ Manuel was a high. I met E.J. Manuel one time. He grew
great
up.
Great guy.
Great guy.
Great guy, right. Overdrafted. Like,
yep. It was a bad draft class.
He was not the 16th pick of the draft.
Anytime there's a bad quarterback class, it seems like their quarterback's going to be a bust because some team's going to take one in the first round, it seems like, often. You were just talking about Sam Darnold a second ago.
Yeah.
CD2K. If Sam Darnold was that low on your list when he got drafted, what did he do to change your opinion? Has he changed your opinion here?
All right. I've been asked this a few times. So first of all, let's keep in line the list.
Yeah.
Like Josh Allen and Lamar, pretty good 1 and 2.
Right.
It's hard to crack that 1 and 2 right there. Baker's pretty fucking good at number 3.
Yeah.
So you're number 4 in that list. It doesn't mean you're bad or I don't think you're like not good. I thought those three were ballers.
Yeah.
Where I messed up when he was coming out, I put Rosen in front of him a little bit. I did because I loved Rosen's ability to just stripe the ball in the pocket and everything like that. So I was wrong about that. But there was still a lot to like about Sam Darnold and what he did. You know, the big thing I'll say with Sam Darnold is just, hey, again, what have I seen? Yeah, I've seen enough to know the talent's real for me to think he's an NFL starting quarterback and one that can thrive in the league. You know, decision-making, quick release, good arm, movement in the pocket, all those type of things. Has it been perfect? Absolutely not. But, you know, as I've argued a lot of times too, horrible support system around him. Mm. You know, maybe the worst out of any of those guys we really just discussed. It is the worst.
Yep.
So, you know, I know it's not about the ranking. I messed up in my ranking of having him 5. That was a year where, you know, this was early on in my stuff where I had Lamar 1 first, Josh Allen 2 at first. And I think originally I had Baker Mayfield 3, Sam Darnold 4. And then, like, I got a little farther in the process and did, like, one of those. Let me go back and watch them all one more time, like, 20 days before the draft.
Yeah.
And I switched those two. And I switched Allen and Lamar Jackson and all of that stuff. So that's where it got me. But I am still a believer in Darnold.
It's funny. Like, last year there was a similar situation with wide receiver because Chase Claypool, you were high on him.
Yeah, right.
And he was, I think, the 11th wide receiver taken.
Yeah.
And when you look back and you look at the receivers that were taken ahead of him, there are a lot of really good receivers.
There's only so a few you can look at to
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
Like, that was wrong.
Yeah.
Right. There's, like, Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't, you know, after that, it's really, you're like, I mean, I understand them picking that guy in front of me. You're right.
Yeah.
It was a damn good class.
Right. So sometimes just because you were the 4th quarterback taken doesn't mean you're terrible. Or if you thought he was the 4th quarterback.
Yeah, Marino was the last quarterback taken on the 83 class. Yeah. How did that work out? Yeah. Ask Todd Blackledge and company. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was Elway and Marino when it was all said and done, and that's all that mattered.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, let's go back in the vaults again here. Raul Del Toro 15, last play of the game to win the Super Bowl, your quarterback. Gruden calls Spider 2 Y Banana. Who are your dream pass catchers to run that play for the win.
Oh.
All right, so what are the different receivers on that play, and, like, what are their – what are they – like, give me a prototype. Like, what should they be good at?
Yeah, sure. So, Spider 2 Y Banana, like, usually would be, like, in this type of formation here where it would be really – more times than not, when we called it like that, it would be tight end to the right.
Okay.
Right? Fullback – offset to your right, right? Like behind the tackle, right?
Yeah. You know, he's running strong, the banana?
He's going to run in the flat. The banana's the Y, which is the tight end.
Okay.
He's running a corner route, which kind of looks like a banana,
yeah,
which is why I think they called it that. All right, so you have that. And then on your backside, you have two receivers to your left. One's just going to run a little shallow cross, right, to be your third option. So really the play goes like this. It goes play action, look into the flat to the fullback.
Yeah.
Look at Y, who's coming on that corner route. You can kind of see them both in one.
So neither one's like the one. They're both kind of like.
It depends. Like you could have if you. There's a little coverage element, some little clues to look at.
Yeah.
Like where if you got like a man-to-man look, and there's a linebacker over my tight end. That's where I can make Y the number one read. Because like you go, oh, it's man-to-man. If he got off clean, he's got him beat. I want to throw it to him right away and get him the ball, right?
Got it.
I don't want to go look at the fullback and let that guy get back in coverage, and then he's not open, right?
No.
So there's little things for different coverages and things like that. But generally, it's fullback one, tight end two, whoever's coming on the backside for the shallow cross as number three. In my ideal world, okay, for Y, for the tight end, the Y banana, I mean, that's easy. I'm taking Gronk. That's all day. I mean, he can, one, maybe get off and just get open.
Yep.
Two, if he's covered, it doesn't really fucking matter. I'm just going to throw it up to him, and he's going to catch it.
Gronk in his prime.
Gronk in his prime. Gronk even right now is still damn, like,
yeah,
he's a Y banana threat for sure. I'm going to go with an ex-teammate as mine in the flat, though,
okay,
for a fullback. I'm going with Mike Allstott.
Oh.
I mean, Mike Allstott, Spider 2 Y Banana.
Didn't
for
get
a
enough
fullback.
Credit as a pass catcher.
Oh, a phenomenal pass catcher, phenomenal athlete. And, like, he was awesome to throw the ball into the flat, too, because, one, hey, he could catch and he could adjust to the ball and do all those type of things. But you know how it is, like, as a quarterback, even in high school when you were a quarterback, you throw a ball in the flat and the coverage is tight, you're like, you feel bad because you're like, oh, man, he might get crushed here as soon as he catches the ball.
Yep.
Allstott, you never had to worry about that.
Yeah.
Never. Like, he was going to catch it and somehow just get his shoulders up, and no matter who hit him, how hard, he'd stay on his feet and be like, oh, Mike Allstott, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it was amazing. I throw him ball sometimes, like, damn, that was a stupid decision. Whoa, he broke the tackle and ran for 15. Great job, Chris.
He expected
it. So that would be probably the guy I'd want on that side. And then, man, just the receiver to come across in the shallow cross.
Yeah.
I want somebody who's, like, going to be able to catch the ball and get serious yak, right? Because it's a short little shallow cross. So that's where I would want, like, a Tyreek.
Yeah.
I want Tyreek flying across, like, oh, wait, Allstott and Gronk aren't open. Oh, here comes this guy. Let me get it to him and let him run up the scene. That would be perfect.
So those are your three.
Those are my three.
Those are your three right
there.
Yep. And you win the Super Bowl.
And we win the Super Bowl.
You throw it to Mike Allstott. He breaks seven tackles, and you get full credit. You get the MVP.
Yes.
Of the Super
Bowl. It's not Tampa Bay. It's Simza Bay.
Here's another one from London. Had one from across the pond. I'm curious about this one, too. Graham 29091. Hi, Chris and Ahmed. Big fan of the show from London, England. What are your thoughts on a potential of a franchise moving overseas? Do you think it would be a plus or a minus for the team and the league? So where do we sit on that right now? Because it seemed like 5 years ago, all the talk was definitely we're going to have a team in London probably within the next decade. And now you don't hear that talk as much. Where do you think we are with that?
It's a plus for the league.
Yeah.
I think. It's just not a plus for the players. And I think that's where it's going to really hit the you know, proverbial roadblock.
Yeah.
Because, one, you're just going to have a hard time getting players to go over there. I mean, listen, players, especially football players, the majority, they're mama's boys. They don't want to be like, hey, mom, I'm in London and you're in Arizona and I'm never going to see it anymore or anything like that. That's a real thing. I mean, let alone the conversion rates with money. I mean, there's so many different little angles.
You pay them in Bitcoin now.
Seriously. Or what's the other one? Dogecoin?
Dogecoin?
Is that how you say it? Dogecoin? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think between that aspect of players not wanting to play over there And not anything like personal to those countries or anything like that. I think it's just, again, the
travel,
distance.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's the other thing is the logistics and the travel. You know, again, like what do you do? Your team in London.
Yeah.
And now it's your year where you're going to play what? The NFC West and the AFC West. Right. Think about that. You're in London. Schedule falls this year. You got to play the NFC West and the AFC West. I mean, what are we going to do?
So what if you do it like this?
Have the home stands like everybody says?
No. What if you put five teams over there?
Well, that could be.
You have one in London, one in France, you know, I don't know.
One in Amazon like underpants?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like they did in hockey this year in the NHL because of the bubbles and they didn't want to travel from Canada into our COVID-infested waters. They had their own Canadian division.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
I hear you.
Yeah.
That would be great.
NFL doesn't really need to do it, though. I mean, they have expanded their bottom line so significantly here in the States.
Yes.
That it's not even, is it a priority anymore?
And they're extending their bottom line in London because they're going look, we don't even have a team there, and you guys keep coming to these games.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's the answer. Stop going to all our games in London, and that's how you'll get your fans or your team there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess that's my thought there. Yep. I would love to see it. I would love if it was like the London Redcoats are playing the New England Patriots today in a battle on NBC Sunday Night Football.
Uh-huh.
That would be kind of cool.
It would be cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. There is something going on with the Jets. We mentioned it before. Zach Wilson, you're high on him. But we think they'll be better. But why will they be better? Wilson da 10 writes in. Everyone is focused on the change in personnel on the Jets' offense. But how much will the coaching change improve the offense? So their new offensive coordinator is LaFleur.
Mike LaFleur. Yeah.
A lot of LaFleurs out there
now.
You got Mike LaFleur. But you know Adam Gase, and you think he's probably a pretty good offensive mind, too.
I do.
Zach Wilson gives him another step up. Do you think the offensive philosophy that they might instill will give them another step up, or do you think it's mostly going to come from Wilson?
Yeah, that's where I think they have it. It's the philosophy. It's the base of which this offense jumps off from, I think, is more exciting. Gase, I like Gase as an offensive mind. If you really told me what Gase's baseline offensive system is, though, I'm not sure if I could really tell you what it is. I think it's a mishmash of stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we know what this is. It's tried, it's true, whatever you want to say, it's proven with the effect. And the big thing is the why it's going to be better is just, hey, listen, there's Mike LaFleur is going to know more about the run game than Adam Gase because he came from Shanahan. You know, Shanahan's awesome in the run game, not because he's lucky every year, because he knows how to coach certain things and do certain things in the run game that other teams in football don't. And he can come up with different ways to do them, and teams can't quite figure it out. So I think just from that jump-off point, that's why the offense is going to be better. You know, and the Jets, at least from me, a guy sitting here, 10,000 feet just looking from above, is it does seem like the front office and the coaches are on the same, wavelength as far as the type of players for this system and all of those type of things. So, I think from that, there's better talent on the field. The system's better, and the system itself lends to less pressure on the quarterback than Adam Gase's system. And I think that's probably where all the positives are for Zach Wilson and why I think it'll be a different look altogether.
He did a lot at BYU. Trey Lance did a lot in college as well, North Dakota State. Bricky by Brick 2021. Word is that a lot was asked of Trey Lance to read the defense and make O-line adjustments. Did you see that? In watching film?
Well, he definitely was doing stuff at the line of scrimmage. I definitely don't question, any coach I've talked to throughout the process will rave about Trey Lance's brains and his ability to process and everything like that. You know, I know Shanahan, even after the draft, in their estimation, he was the smartest guy in the draft for them at quarterback. I think that is a part of the reason. You know, they ran a pro-style offense in a basic way. It definitely looked like he was in control of some things at the line of scrimmage. There's no doubt. How much, I don't know. I don't think it was overly complex just by the overall look of the offense in general to where I think you heard me say through the process. I mean, the passing concepts were pretty base level type of stuff as far as the NFL is concerned. But that doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't. He just got to get reps doing this stuff and executing and playing and throwing the ball more and, you know, drop back and pass 40 times in a row and do those type of stuff. That, to me, what it's all about with him. I don't question whether he can, like, get out of the huddle, get guys in the right plays.
Right.
I know he'll be able to do all that.
It's executing the plays. We'll see if he can do that. If he can take him to a Super Bowl, he'll be a hero. They'll make a statue of him immediately. That is what the Buccaneers did last year in year one under Tom Brady. Coach Magnet says, how many quarterbacks, though, from last year would have won the Super Bowl with Tampa?
Gosh.
So Tom Brady did.
Yeah.
How many other
quarterbacks?
What's this,
Coach Hill?
Coach Magnet.
Magnet?
Magnet. Do you know this person?
No, I'm trying to get the name. Because this
Coach Magnet.
Coach Magnet's trying to make me a magnet for social media hate here. That's what he's trying to do. He's going to get me in trouble with this one. One's listening, Pete says. We're in the trust tree.
We won't tweet this out.
Okay, so, I mean, my first thought right off the bat is half the league, for sure. For sure. To win the Super Bowl last year with that Bucs team.
Okay, so there's two different things.
There's
here.
Two different things. And
it's
this
like,
is where,
who could have won that game?
Exactly. And who could have gone along the whole year?
Yes.
Brought the team along, got
made
everything
them believe
going.
They could do it.
I got you. I know. That's what it is. You're exactly. I'm glad you said it. That's exactly what I was thinking in my brain. Yeah. I was like, there's two things that you can kind of.
Right.
So that task you're talking about bringing along the team, doing all that stuff, that's not easy. So that would lessen it to a degree, right? Now, also, what I would also play into that, like what you heard this weekend, I don't know if you saw this, like Bruce Arians, he basically made statements like Brady had a hard time picking up the offense. Mm-hmm. Like that was an issue for them at the halfway point of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not because Brady's stupid. Brady's as smart as they get. Again, when it's 19 years and you've spoken one language and, you know, left means left and right means right, and all of a sudden it's like, what? Left doesn't mean left and right doesn't mean right? It's hard to adjust to that.
What down is it?
Yeah, right, like right? Four, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So
you think 15 or so could have won that game if they just were – if, like, Brady's hurt.
I don't think there's any doubt. I think if we just get into that game, right, or we get to, like, now the Bucs are in the playoffs and go from there.
Sure.
Let's just say that for an easy baseline, right?
Yep.
I mean, I'm almost going to go, Mahomes, Allen, Big Ben, Tannehill.
Ben, you think? I mean, it's
close. He's one question. I'm going to throw him out. I'll throw you out the ones that I question a little bit.
Okay.
Lamar, Baker, I'm going to throw in there. Phillip Rivers, I'm not sure about that, actually. Because I don't know about his ability to throw the ball down the field. You know, Derek Carr, Herbert, Deshaun, Rodgers.
The rookies scare me, though.
The rookies are the scary ones. The rookies are the scary ones. You know, Russell Wilson, of course. Listen, I'm not going to say the Rams or the Bears, any one of those quarterbacks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think you could have thrown 20-yard out routes consistently and beat defenses when they took away the run game. Arizona, yes. I'm going to say yes with Minnesota.
Kirk Cousins could have done it.
Yeah, I think he could have done that. I do. You know, and then, of course, Dak Prescott, Stafford, and even Matt Ryan. I'm going to throw them in there. So, it's around half the league. The real question is the way you're putting it.
Yeah.
The leadership.
Yeah, day one offseason, COVID environment.
Getting everybody going. Together. That's where I think, okay, if we're going to answer that part of the question, let's
getting
do
Getting a team to believe.
Getting to believe.
That had never done it before.
Right. Well, getting it, exactly. Yeah, right. Getting it to still believe when you're kind of struggling through a bad part of the year and that type of stuff. All right, I'm still going to put Mahomes in there, right? I'm going to put Josh Allen, but you guys know me. I'm a Josh Allen lover.
Yeah.
All right? So I am because I think he's so talented that even through those rough spots where we talked about, he would have been able to make enough plays to where you go, he might have fucked up the play, but he still threw a 40-yard completion and it worked out. And, you know, he's not a rookie. He was a third-year guy. To get through all the stuff, Tannehill, I don't know if I'm ready to say Tannehill.
Yeah.
I am going to say Rodgers, and I am going to say Wilson.
There's four.
I am going to say, I'm not.
Who are you going to say?
Nobody.
Okay.
I'm going to say Kyler Murray, too. I am.
Oh, you think Kyler could have done it?
I do.
Wow.
I think Kyler's got enough willpower. And then, again, I think the talent is so good.
The talent's very good.
That to where, the playbook might have not been perfect and all that, but he would have overcame it through that angle as well. You know,
I mean, like, honestly, like, well, he didn't
stay.
He didn't stay healthy, but Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's the only reason I didn't say him, because I just didn't know how to put it there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he'd be a guy that I think could have got him maybe
he's
in a fighting
it,
spot.
Right, with a team that's been very good around
no
him.
No doubt. Yeah. I think that, you know, and I'll probably say Stafford and Matt Ryan, too, at the end.
Yeah.
That would probably be the last two I'd really throw in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know how many. What did I say there at the end? Probably 8 or 9 guys?
Yeah.
You think that's fair?
Yeah.
You're not sure, though.
I think that's, yeah. We'll never know.
No, you're doubting it a little bit. You're thinking I'm not giving Brady's
Here's the thing: if
leadership and everything enough credit.
If you were to do that whole year over again, there's a chance Brady doesn't even do it again. You know, so, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
it's just like just because it happened doesn't mean like it was
it
likely to
twice,
happen.
Right.
Yeah. It's but I think it's good. It's interesting to think about, and it's still special.
Hey,
what he did in going there and getting them all to believe, even though they did have all that.
No,
talent.
No, you know, and this is where I want to say this too, just to back this up a little bit, just to because I this was on the I don't I'm not picking on Tom Brady here.
Yeah,
like the Kansas City Chiefs wouldn't be far off from being where they are as a team either, and I could definitely name some quarterbacks and go, I still think they could have got the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Or they still would have got, you know, a top 2 or 3 seed. And like, so it's not about that, right? I'm not trying to Mahomes is awesome, and he's the best quarterback in football. He also has a lot of great stuff around him to make sure we all see all the talents he has. So.
Well, it's like you always mention, like the quarterback is part of it. It's not – you know, as and it's maybe the most important part of it,
but
it's not the
only.
Entire team.
No.
It's not the only part of it.
No.
Okay, I like that. Sometimes it's about defense, and one team's defense got better as the year went on. That was Seattle. This comes from Frank Knowles. What's the current defensive scheme that is going giving opposing offenses trouble? Is it still the Seattle scheme? So we talk about the Seattle scheme all the time. It's a little too simplistic for you.
Yeah.
You feel like they're there are ways to break it down. This podcast is sponsored by the Seattle Scheme. It was at least for like a month last year. So what do you think? What is that current defensive scheme that really is the hardest to crack?
Yeah, I don't think the Seattle Scheme, certainly not that anymore, no. I mean, to me, it's the other way around. Seattle Scheme is dying out, as you've heard me say. It's really almost to me, it's like if you don't have like super top-end talent, it's hard to – I would be afraid to run the Seattle Scheme.
It's like teams that run the Seattle Scheme now actually have a lot of other things they do.
They do. There's definitely more of it. Right, right. And the teams that stay true to, like, hey, let's Seattle was trying to stay true to that Seattle Scheme early on in the year last year. You know what it led to? You know, the worst defense we've ever seen through 8 weeks of football because it wasn't great talent, and yet you're running that scheme. They got better at the end of the year. But why? Because Seattle started running every defense underneath the sun. They left the Seattle Scheme. And they said, we're going to disguise and do all kinds of crazy shit. That, to me, is what is the best scheme in football right now.
Yeah.
Is unpredictability. Is week-to-week game planning schemes. It's the teams like Baltimore, the New England Patriots. You know, who else am I missing? Oh, again, the Rams last year. You know, it's like, yeah, we know this is their base defense and they like to do these things. But there's a tweak to it every week. Or there's a game plan specific element to it. Oh, here's cover three. Okay, cover three, cover three, cover three. Okay, but they're playing this team this week who against cover three runs these plays. So then they tweak their cover three. So then you're in the game and you're like, man, it's cover three, but I don't know what this guy's doing here, right? Does that make sense?
It seems like a no-brainer that other teams wouldn't do that, but they don't.
Because they get scared. They don't know how to coach it.
They think it'll be a breakdown.
They find a flaw somewhere else where they go, wait, now I'm not covered here. And maybe they haven't had the coach and their staff or somebody to teach them, like, oh, this is what we do to cover that up a little bit, right?
Right.
You know, and listen, not all these coaches have all these answers. So, yeah, I think when I look at, like, best defenses in football, that's what, you know, the Steelers, right? The Saints. Listen, let's go. Let me look. Actually,
do
look
you need
at this.
A crew that's been together?
If you want to start to get really complex and be really versatile in your blitzes, yes, that's when it gets to special ways. Like, I've heard Ray Lewis and Ed Reed talk in person about, you know, they got so good at their defense, they would make a call from the sideline. Let's just say they would just go, you know, we want whatever the call was, we're Raven, and that meant two guys blitz on the weak side. They knew the defense so well that they could figure out any two guys to blitz on the weak side. and then we'll figure out how to do all the other stuff. Oh, so this time it's, hey, it's Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. It's going to be the linebacker free safety blitz. And then everybody knew, like, okay, so on the back end, we get a cover like this and do this.
Right.
And then they call that same blitz four plays later. But now it's the corner and another linebacker. And as a quarterback, you're going, well, fuck, what? This is a different blitz. What coverage are they going to play with this? But they're all comfortable going, oh, we know what we're doing. We're good. We do this all the time. So that's when you do become special that way, right? And last thing here, but when you take – the top four defenses in football, Rams, Washington football team, Steelers, Saints, they're all what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Game plan specific, you don't know. The 49ers at number five last year with total defense, you know, I'll say this, they got away from Seattle in a lot of ways last year. I'd love to do it, and that, maybe we can do this for the next spot. San Francisco, I'm going to bet you played two safeties deep more last year than they played three, Seattle cover three. I am. So they tweaked it, but then you have – you look at it. This kind of says it. Oh, man, we're talking about it. Then number six was the Buccaneers. Seven was the Ravens. Eight was the Colts, who run the Seattle scheme.
Yeah.
And then you had nine, the Packers, and then 10, the Chargers-Seattle scheme. So you had seven non-Seattle schemes and then three Seattle schemes with highly talented rosters on the defensive side of the ball that kind of helped them get away with it, in my opinion.
All right. Staying with the defensive side of the ball.
Sorry for the long answer.
No, that was good.
It was a lot.
The Vikings, Mike Zimmer's a big defensive guy. So here is one from Vikes9090. What's up, guys? Love the pod. I know Chris is a little bit of a Vikings hater. Are you a Vikings hater?
I'm not. I mean,
you
I feel like
to push back on Florio.
I feel like I'm the opposite, right? Well, Florio hates on it. I've never seen a fan hate on his own team more than him, so I'm shocked he's saying that. I'm actually usually sticking up for them.
How big of a bounce back do you think Mike Zimmer's defense will have this year, and why?
Well, I'd be shocked. I mean, first off, that was a crazy year last year. I mean, what did the defense last year ended up, what, 27th in football? That's crazy.
Zimmer's never had a year like that as a head coach. But the personnel kind of, wasn't it?
They had issues.
That way we were looking at it, we're like, this is not going to be his normal defense here.
Definitely
but
not.
We thought maybe Mike Zimmer's going to be able to figure it out.
Thought he'd figure it out. But, yeah, there was a lot of changing moving parts. You know, pass rushers left. They totally flipped around their secondary. You know, they had injuries at middle linebacker. So those are issues. You know, now – this year, like last year, they had, you know, the I want to pull up their roster.
Yeah.
Because last year they had the opt-outs, right, of, what was it, Justin Ellis, who was supposed to be their big D-tackle signing from the Baltimore Ravens. All right. So you're going to have him back. And they signed a Dalvin Tomlinson. So you got him, those two in the middle of the defense to where that can be dominant. And then Danielle Hunter, we expect him to be healthy. That was a huge part of the fall off last year.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, it was Michael Pierce, not Justin Ellis. I was wrong. Sorry. I got my Baltimore big guys messed up there. But so I expect just from health and a little experience for them to be better that way. And then, yes, Zimmer is too smart. But I don't, again, I don't think this is going to be a jump of like, oh, they're going to go from 27th to the top 10 in football.
You don't?
I don't.
I mean, some of these names, like you, Tomlinson.
Yes, it's going to be huge.
Anthony Barr, Kendricks.
I know.
Patrick Peterson.
Right. I guess where I question
Harrison
them
Smith.
Is a little still at the corner position if I had to look at their roster. You know, I know they got Mackenzie Alexander, so that's nice. But yeah, that's, you know, they need Jeff Gladney, the first rounder from last year, to play better football. I'm going to say they make a jump to, like, top 15-ish, but not get to the top 10.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. All right. They'll be better, still not elite.
Still not elite. I don't think so.
Which,
I think,
with that offense, they might not need that.
Playoff team without that. No, and that offense is going to protect that defense that way. But, yeah, I don't know. Guys like James Lynch, should they draft that out of Baylor? You know, Jalen Holmes, defensive end, you know, they drafted at Ohio State this year, a few years back. They need some of those guys to pop up and be major players, too.
Minnesota Pete notes here, 27th in yards allowed. First time that a Zimmer defense has been in the bottom half of the league in that stat since he was defensive coordinator of the Falcons in 2007. So, an anomaly. They'll be better. Maybe still not elite, but it might be good enough for them. You talked about Florio. Noted Vikings fan. This one comes from Robbie R. Do you actually like Florio? Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. As a man, as a person, do you like Mike Florio?
I do. I'm ashamed to say it, but I do like him. I do. Yes. Listen, like, Florio was one of those guys I didn't know how to feel about when I first got here.
He's very, like, to the point. He's the same off-air as he is on-air. He's not a different person at all.
That's where I really appreciate him.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, when you're on the wrong side of his fire, like, as a player or something, like, he'd write something about you and, you know, yeah, he'd write a little, like, where I write, copy-paste, snarky comment, and you're like, man, did he really need to add that comment at the end of that article about me? Like, that's fucked up he said that.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how to feel about him. But the one thing I respect about Florio, first off, he does care about people. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't, like, even if he likes you and if you do something stupid, he's going to write an article and say it was stupid.
Yeah.
And he does. Like, I know there's certain coaches he talks to, and I'm like, oh, that coach did something dumb. That's bad. Like, I wonder how Florio is going to react. I wonder if he'll write it.
Yeah.
And he does.
Sure. That
is, which I respect. So he never, like, is favoring anybody that way. He's incredibly smart. He's on the side of the players 99 out of 100 times, which I'm with as well. So, yes, I do like Florio.
Yeah. Yes. We can't show this to him. And he will. And there aren't that many that do it. People who have inside knowledge and break stories, which Mike does, who push back against the NFL as hard as he does.
There's no question.
It's a tricky relationship. You know, you've got all these billions of dollars invested. He's working here at NBC. And so it's a tough relationship to navigate.
Yes, it is.
I think he always keeps in mind who he's serving. And it's the people that read his stories.
Yeah.
And the people he's talking to. And so I really respect that.
Yeah,
about
no doubt.
Mike, we can't show this to him at all.
Oh, they'll probably play this on the show tomorrow.
On repeat.
Yes.
Every hour.
Right.
A couple of people said they wanted to know the answer to that too. So people want to know.
They want to know if I really like
actual rivalry.
So what they're basically saying is you can't actually like Florio. Is that what they're actually saying?
Yeah.
You can't really like him. We watch the show and we don't like him. So how can you?
We're going to see if Chris can be honest on the podcast. And you had to blatantly lie. All right. So now we know. This one comes from International Touch. He says, do you think the Chiefs will have a Super Bowl hangover? We've talked about the Super Bowl hangover in the past. Can seem to be a real thing, although Chiefs seem to get there no matter what happened the previous year. So, Kristen, do we have the schedule? 31-09.
It's a tough schedule.
Kansas City Chiefs. It is one of the tougher schedules?
It is one of the tougher schedules in football.
Okay.
Yes, I would look at it that way. It's not easy. I mean, you look at any point of it, really. You can go, oh, there's a tough stretch there. I mean, first three games are not easy. You know, I know it's Philadelphia, Andy Reid going back home that way. That'll be some emotions there. But, man, Bills, Washington's, Titans, Giants are going to be better. Packers at Raiders, Cowboys are going to be better. I mean, that's legit to me.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't. And to answer our friend's question, yes, I'm expecting a hangover from the Kansas City Chiefs. As bullish as you were, if you remember me last year, I was all on like, I thought they would do what they did last year, except I thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. I thought they'd go 14-2 or 15-1. They were going to relish that they're the champs and play with no pressure or anything like that.
Right.
I'm going to go this year that it all catches up to them. Not to the, like, they're still going to make the playoffs, but I think it's going to be like a 11-6 type of year. They're going to have some letdown. To me, it's just, you know, the way you lost the Super Bowl, it's 3 years in a row of late season, two Super Bowls, an AFC championship game.
It's a lot of football.
It's a lot of football. It is. And you've been the biggest show in the league for 3 years in a row. And everybody is chomping at the bit. In your division, in your conference, you're the bullseye still. Even though you didn't win the Super Bowl, in your conference, you're still the team. So I'm going to say this year that they do have a few of those slip-ups or games and lose a few more than we're accustomed to.
You just saw the schedule. They start off with the Cleveland Browns. Going to be one of the better games of week number one in the NFL. Here's a question about the Browns. Tom Brady is booty. Who has been on this podcast multiple times now.
He has.
And gotten us to say that multiple times. Do you think Cleveland should take serious consideration into trading OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., for more help in the secondary, maybe for Stephon Gilmore? The Browns were fine without him last year and seem to be in a win-now mode.
I know. I understand that question totally. I get it. You would think you could probably still get a decent trade offer for OBJ, but probably not to their liking of to what they think the player is actually worth. Hey, teams are going to have, you know, what do I want to say, trepidation, right, about OBJ? Is that
correct? Yeah, they'd want a first-rounder at least, right? I mean, you would think.
Pete says a nice word. I would think so, right. But I would think it's going to be hard. You know, the guy hasn't played much football over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I think a team's going to have a hard time giving up a first-round pick for OBJ that way. Other thing I'll say, too, is I know the offense was good and everything was great last year. There's no doubt. But – there is a real thing of, like, first-year juice. The division's not used to the Stefanski system.
Yeah.
You know, now the Steelers got to see him 3 times. The Ravens have seen him twice. They're going to study him in the offseason. You know, so the system's not going to deliver, in my opinion, to the capacity in which it did last year. Mm. They're going to catch up to it a little bit. And the system, as you've heard me, I've questioned it before. That's why I wasn't a huge Stefanski fan being hired by Cleveland, just because, like, yeah, the run game's great and all that. I question the pass game stuff and all of that.
Yeah.
They play a Minnesota style of football. The Vikings, like that. You need 2 studs at receiver if you're going to play that way. And as good as it looked last year, again, it's like the same thing we talked about with Mahomes a minute ago. Like, I know it looked good, but we don't know if OBJ stayed healthy. Like, you don't – how good could it have looked?
Yeah.
I don't – that's where everyone's just going, well, it was good. He wasn't there. We don't need him.
Yeah.
Well, how fucking awesome would it have been if he was there?
Yeah.
And he did start to all of a sudden come together with Baker Mayfield.
But it hadn't happened to that point.
I know. It hasn't happened.
It's a huge question. You mentioned it, that Baker was almost trying to force it, trying to make it happen.
It's a weird thing
they
got.
And it may have been a relief when he wasn't there anymore.
I know.
Because he didn't have to worry about that
I know. So, I don't – it's not going to get traded, I don't think, anytime right now. To me, what could happen is – if we get to the season, things are going well, the offense is okay, OBJ shows he's healthy, and he's running great and all those things, but it's not connecting the way it quite should.
Yep.
And now there's a team that has a desperate wide receiver need. That's where I think maybe you could then – they could maybe then go, wait, we got, you know – Higgins is really good. We're comfortable with him being the second receiver, and we're good with Landry and Higgins.
Right.
Definitely. But – again, I would also like to say, Cleveland, you have nobody on the roster who could take a reverse a la like the Dallas Cowboy game and run 60 yards weaving through the whole defense for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Those are the special things he can do. And I think there's going to be a little bit more need for the special talents this year because, like I said, that first-year magic of the first-year system and coach will be gone a little bit, and teams will have caught up to a degree.
Yeah, so wide receivers went fully healthy for the Browns, pretty good.
Yep.
Broncos drafted a couple wide receivers last year. When fully healthy, that's a pretty good crew.
Definitely.
As well, Bear Revels says, love the pod in AMA. Play GM for the Broncos. How much do you believe in Drew Lock, and what's your evaluation of him? What does Teddy Bridgewater mean to you, and how aggressively would you go after Aaron Rodgers? So a three-part question.
Yeah.
But all about the same thing.
Yeah.
Quarterback. In Denver. Drew Lock, a guy who you liked coming out of college.
Right.
That draft class hasn't turned out to be very good at all. Outside of Kyler Murray, but what do you think? Yeah, what's the near term, long term for quarterbacks in Denver?
Well, I think like one, I feel as if there's a little bit of an overreaction with the Drew Lock stuff. You know, again, I know like it wasn't perfect last year. I do, but for me, there still was like a lot of positives and good to where you go, damn, that was like a special little drive there, like with a handful of special throws, or that was a really great quarter of like some really high level play. And I know there was some in between and here and there and all that type of stuff too. So I guess I'm still positive about him.
Yeah.
His potential can still be special. And I still think franchise quarterback-ish. To me, he's just got to grow up all together. Everything about it, the way he plays. I don't want to see any more dances after a 3-yard touchdown pass or anything like that. Just come on. We just got to make a name for ourselves for what we do on the field. But I think the great thing about the Bridgewater thing is if you do have him and you got to go to them, he's going to play the game the right way. He's going to play the position true to form. Not going to make a lot of great plays, but hey, what's there to be had, he's going to take advantage of, he's not going to screw the game up, and we know all that. You get Rodgers, you're going to have, I mean, to me, unlimited potential on the offensive side. It's just like, watch out. With that line, you know, the receiving group they have, and now you got a quarterback like Rodgers who, once he learns the system and get them in the right plays and, of course, take advantage of everything physically, hey, that would be really special. They're going to have to give up a lot of stuff to get Rodgers to do that. I would think maybe even one of those receivers is going to go by the wayside and be up in Green Bay.
Do you think – you've said that if he goes anywhere, it's going to be Denver.
Yeah, that's right.
You think that could still happen this offseason?
I'm going to say no at this point.
Yeah.
No. I just think we're too late in the game.
Right.
And the biggest thing is just like, I don't think Green Bay can do it. I just don't think Green Bay can do it. The biggest reason, I had this conversation with Mike a little bit today, like, all things make sense for Green Bay, except the fact that the guy you traded for to get in the first round, right?
Yeah.
And now is replacing one of the all-time greats in the MVP of football. He hasn't played. He's raw. He has no preseason. I would bet you they're scared to death to throw him out there. Because now, if he gets thrown out there and they start off the season 1-3, it's like you want to talk about magnifying glass on a – it's going to go to, like, what's the biggest telescope in the world onto that situation and that pick and everything that was gone there. And to me, that's why it's not going to go down.
Yeah.
And to me, that's probably why Green Bay is not going to let this happen no matter what. Because there's a big chance they could have a lot of egg on their face.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
So that leads us to Ryan King Now's question. Chris, love the show. Can the Packers win the Super Bowl considering the Rodgers dysfunction and a defense needing to get a lot better quickly? So say Rodgers stays. They were a win away from making the Super Bowl last year. How far can they get this year with all that's going on?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, he's the type of guy, you know, he's enough of a jerk to where he can block out the front office. And I mean that respectfully.
Yeah.
All good quarterbacks got enough jerk in them to block stuff out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he could block off the Gutenkoos and the Mark Murphys of the world and, hey, screw them and I'm going to be awesome. As we've said, like we discussed last week a little bit, there's no problems with any players or any coaches. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Life is uncomfortable as a player when there's like – an issue in the locker room with other players, like you're like, man, I don't like my teammates, or this guy said something about me. That's when you're like, man, this isn't cool to come to work.
Right.
Or if you really are not happy with your coaches, your playing time, or something like that. Front office people, you could go, Rodgers could probably go 2 weeks and not see any of them in the building, or maybe just like out of practice field, they're in the corner over there watching practice, right?
Yeah.
So that to me is going to put no bad juju or, you know, karma on the situation that way.
My dad made a really good point when I was talking about Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers last year. I was like, well, I mean, they basically wasted their first round pick last year. They got nothing out of it. And he goes, no. He was like, they got an MVP quarterback, a performance out of it, which, like, honestly, who knows, right?
I know.
You could have drafted another player and he might have contributed a little bit. I mean, there are a lot of people in that draft later in the first round that didn't do much in their first year. Like, the fact that he motivated Aaron Rodgers to the point where he had one of his best seasons ever, I mean, maybe he was pretty impactful.
Well, listen, that's what Florio said from the get-go. He's on the same wavelength as your dad.
Yeah.
You know, that he thinks that there was a little bit of, like, a Mark Murphy play here to go, like, no, we need to put pressure on him. He's best when he's got something like this going on.
Yeah.
But that's great. That was a great read. But for every great read, there's a misread. And they misread how he was going to handle the situation after the fact. Yeah. And I don't know how that, because the rest of the country knows exactly the read and how he was going to handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew. So that's where it's a little.
Yeah.
It's I know. Listen, I understand it probably made him focus more. Definitely. I do.
But now they got issues, and they'll have to navigate those issues. But as I always say, as a Lions fan, going to the NFC Championship game and having a weird quarterback situation, the least of our worries. Like, we would invite that problem.
Hey, I mean, it's like our old, the context is, hey, there's a lot to the context of every situation. There's no doubt.
They would have liked a wide receiver. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers would have liked one last year, a deep class. This year, another deep class. This question comes from Chris Maxi Music. Hey, love the pod. Why do you think Rashad Bateman went higher than Terrace Marshall Jr. in the draft? Which do you think would have been the better fit with Baltimore? So Bateman went to Baltimore at 27th overall. Terrace Marshall from LSU went 59th overall, second round to Carolina.
Yeah. I am a Terrace Marshall fan.
Yeah.
I know that. Bateman, I think, was more the highly contested receivers throughout the draft process. I mean, I know I had friends that thought he was, like one of the two or three best receivers in the class. And then I had other friends that were like, oh, no, I wouldn't take him till late in the second and stuff like that. So I think the big thing is, you know, I know we discussed this. Last year's film was underwhelming. 2 years ago, there was a lot more explosive plays on the film and big-time plays altogether. You know, but I think when you have size, you know, good route runner, and he's got big play potential. I don't think he has the big play potential Terrace Marshall has, but he's a little bit more polished as far as a route runner and doing some of the other stuff.
Right.
But I'm extremely excited about Terrace Marshall. You know that. I think he has more, for me, he's got more big play ability. So we'll see how that kind of shakes out for both of them.
Perhaps some medical issues there, his knees. We'll have to see how it all plays out. But
a
lot of people were high on the guy that went later in to the second round. Staying with the Ravens here, Bobcat7215, you mentioned that you would have had, or you have an answer as to why our Darius Washington was undrafted and signed by the Ravens in one of your post-draft pods.
I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer yet.
We'll bring that back.
I got to write
later.
A note to myself. I haven't really asked anybody, so I really will. You know what? I've heard nothing about why that happened or anything. So I have no clue for you in total reality there.
Okay. This one comes from, I like this one, a draft-ish question. Cardinals, K1 Show 2020. Please talk about Zaven Collins going number 16 to the Cardinals and the freaky tandem of him and Isaiah Simmons now.
Ooh.
What do you think of that?
Like, I love it. I love that they took him, and I love that they took him to play middle linebacker. You know, some people were talking about, like, oh, teams might take him to be an edge rusher and stuff like that. I don't know. All I saw was a guy in college just dominate the middle of the field, that middle linebacker. You know, they're going to be able to play this right. You know, the great thing about those two in the combination is just it's a little bit like Devin White, Levante David. They're going to be able to cover every tight end and every back out of the backfield in football. There's going to be no issues with that. They have versatility on being able to play on the end of the line of scrimmage. But the big thing is you're just going to have two unbelievable athletic long ball hawks in the middle of the field. So zone coverages, you got two guys that are 6'4 with long arms. Man, you're a quarterback dropping back to pass. Those were the most annoying middle linebackers to me. That's where, like, when I think of that, I right away think of Brian Urlacher, because to me he was the most annoying pass defending linebacker I went against. You know, hey, 1 week you're playing, it's a linebacker, it's 5'11, he's 240 pounds, his arms aren't long. Man, that hole down the middle of the field seemed really big. And then all of a sudden the next week it's Urlacher at 6'4.5 and long arms. And you're going, damn, my tight end's kind of open, but I don't know if I can throw it exactly perfect here over Urlacher and get it done. So that element, let alone their man-to-man ability. And now, you know, you play certain defenses where, you know, they play a bare front or something like that, and they can just roam free and just go tackle the football. That's where I think it's really awesome for Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, athletes, they can get all over the field. I mean,
all over the field.
Play multiple
incredible
positions,
range.
Perhaps.
Right. And Isaiah Simmons got better and better as the year went on last year. And I would expect that to continue now that he's kind of, you know, locked down at one spot.
We got a couple questions about who you would take in a fight again. We got to revisit that. But first, let's do one more draft one.
Yeah.
Dave Mormon 3. Sims is my spirit animal.
Oh, thank you, Dave Mormon.
So you're an animal in the eyes of Dave Mormon. How did you feel about my Chargers draft? Our huge hole at left tackle is going to be filled by Slater, but can he do a good job despite his short arms? Also, how do you feel about Asante Samuel Jr.? So Kristen has put up, if you're watching on YouTube, the draft for the Chargers. Josh Palmer was the third player taken. Trey McKitty. Also in the third.
Yeah,
round.
I liked McKitty for too. Just to hit on that too.
Tight end.
I mean, yeah, McKitty.
He wasn't in your top five tight ends.
Not a top, but he was one of the guys I mentioned as kind of being right on the outside, a longer pass catching tight end who's got some real potential. Palmer, a pretty good wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be like pro ready, ready to go right away.
Yeah.
You know, not a superstar, but can do everything. Slater, hey, he wasn't my favorite tackle, as you know that, but like I just have a hard time thinking. Slam dunk successful pick. Even if it doesn't work a tackle, I'd be shocked if it's not really good guard play. You know, yeah, he looked a little bit more of like a guard to me than a tackle, but obviously they're going to play him a tackle first and see where that goes. But it was a position of need for their football team. There's no doubt. And, you know, again, with Joe Lombardi coming there from the, you know, the Saints and all that, there's a belief. That's how they're going to win games up front. Asante Samuel Jr., I don't know if you remember what I said much about him with the DB stuff. Like, he's a really good system fit with Brandon Staley's defense. Brandon Staley doesn't really want to play a lot of man-to-man. Like, last year, he played a lot of man-to-man with one guy and then played zone everywhere else.
Sure.
And Asante Samuel is a phenomenal zone corner. Now, you know me, I value man-to-man cover island skills more. But if you're going to play, like, zone 90% of the time, Asante Samuel, I think you could have put him in the conversation for the top zone corner in the draft. So that's where he's going to be great. Sit back there, read coverages. He's got great ability to kind of, like, stay in between two receivers, read the quarterback's body language, and make pretty quick explosive breaks on the ball from that standpoint. That's where he's good. Where he was bad is that he's just in man-to-man and he's got to worry about you running the go route. Then he gets so worried about it, he can't cover you man-to-man. So that's where I like Asante Samuel Jr. I think it's a good fit for him there and with the Chargers.
And now we get to the fighting part of the podcast, of the AMA. This one comes from Bacon with Lettuce. Who is the scariest, most intimidating player you had to go against? Is that the same person of your playing era that you would want with you in a bar fight? So who is the most intimidating player? When you lined up and looked across, you're like, I don't want that guy to tackle me.
So Pete texted me this just so I could think about it.
Yep.
And oddly enough, I wrote two guys from the same team. Like, two guys, I went through like my career and I was like, let me just go through and just think of make sure.
When was I crapping myself the most?
Right, exactly. So the first time I played the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's they had Chris Jenkins at nose tackle. People might not remember who Chris Jenkins at this time in the early 2000s was the best nose tackle in football.
Okay.
He was 6'4", 340. You know, not like a fat guy either. It was kind of like, oh, that's really put together in a package there.
Yeah.
You know, so he was crazy good, explosive, had a mean look on his face, and he was like 2 feet from me. And I was always like, he's the perfect guy. I'm going, can my center really snap me the ball and block this guy at the same time?
I mean, how do you think he felt?
I know. I don't know how the hell he felt. And then, you know, Julius Peppers being on that line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Just because of the sheer size and explosive, that's that he actually scared me as a human being because he was nice. Like, and he actually made me feel like he was nice on the football field because
really?
He'd pick you up and he'd smack you on the butt, like, you know, like, hey, get up. I'm going to hit you again and, you know, good. I'll see you in a minute. So he made you feel good, but he was just such a big force. I think, though, the one that takes the cake, because I did write Vrabel down, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Vrabel's scary. But Richard Seymour.
Richard Seymour is the scariest guy I ever played against because he's tall like Julius Peppers, like 6'8"-ish. You know, it's like a Calais Campbell, that kind of guy. But then it's just a huge man like Calais. It's Calais Campbell. I mean, that's who we're talking about here, Richard Seymour. It's like, damn, he's 6'7", 6'8", he's 330. He doesn't really look like he's 330. And holy shit, he's hitting me every play. And then there's no personality. Those are the guys that scared me. There's nothing. It's like always like a stone. It's always like stone cold Bill Belichick face.
Yeah. Like he might snap, forget he's in a football game and actually murder you.
Well, it's like I just felt like there's no chance of me buttering him up or him feeling slightly bad for me the fact that he's hit me 12 plays in a row and I've done like seven backflips.
He might not know. He might not remember that he
didn't care. I know that. That to me was the most like scary guy.
Yeah.
Where you just was like, damn, there's no human emotion. And what if he breaks my neck? Is he going to get up and be like, I broke his neck and just walk away? That's the scariest dude on the football field.
So you mentioned Mike Vrabel there.
Right.
And this leads to Marcel Martinez's question. Which quarterback head coach team combo would be the last one standing in a Royal Rumble fight?
Yeah.
Right now in the NFL. And I was thinking about this a little bit. And I went first to quarterbacks, and I thought Cam Newton, I think he would hold his own very well.
But Bill's an issue.
But Bill's an issue. And so that made me think, like, you have to attack this question first from the coach.
The coach's side, right?
Yes, you the coaching side.
I thought that was funny, too, because Pete sent me this one, too.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing at first. I went to the quarterbacks, and I was like, wait, you know what? I have to switch this around and go to who are the coaches that could actually, like, win a fight.
Yep.
All right, so.
So Vrabel would be up there.
No doubt. I mean, right off the bat, Vrabel, Dan Campbell, okay? Yeah. Robert Saleh. Yep. Mike Tomlin.
Yep. Who's the second one? Did you say Dan Campbell?
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Campbell's the offensive version of Vrabel. Yes. It's like, I'm meathead tight end coach and I'm meathead linebacker coach. I mean, the same guy.
It's like those are the two that came to mind.
They're
Vrabel
scary.
And Campbell.
I mean, those are... They're the two coaches that are going to win. It's one of those two. Mm-hmm. As much as I like Mike Tomlin, I know he's a tough SOB and a scrapper.
Yeah.
But Pete's going in my question. He's going, but with Tannehill and Goff? I know Goff's a major issue here. I don't think Goff can hold his own. You're right. I'm with you, Pete. I worry about him as a fight. Tannehill, I'm not sure about.
So Tomlin and Big Ben, that's a pretty good combo.
Exactly.
You don't lose a lot there.
You don't lose a lot. Big Ben, it looks like a barroom brawler.
Yes.
So I'll tell you another one.
There may be stories out there.
Here's another one that I got. Just because when you take the combination, Allen and McDermott.
Ooh.
McDermott's got a little wrestling background, and he just looks like a tough little Irishman, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then Josh Allen is, other than Cam Newton, is the second biggest quarterback in football.
Mm-hmm.
So they have popped into my head. So I think, and then, all right, here's one other one. You tell me this, if you think it jumps into there. Dak Prescott, we know, right?
Yep.
What about McCarthy? Where do you put him? McCarthy's kind of got some size and some bulk to him.
Yeah.
His face gets real red. He scares me when he gets mad.
The desire for Mike McCarthy to be in the middle of it would be there.
Right.
The ability, I don't know if it would be there.
Yes.
You know, I don't think he would shy away from the fight.
Right.
Unlike, and nothing against him, because I would probably be in the same boat. I'm looking at the combo that I would not want to have, and it's probably Arizona's Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. Not that they are, you know, not that they're weak or anything like that.
Right.
I just think their desire to fight and their ability to fight would both be low.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to tell them that when I see them next time. Let them know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right. I don't know. They come off to me in person as kind of like secretly tough, though. So
they probably are. You're right. They probably are.
They're definitely going to be with you next time when I tell them to kick your ass because you call them soft, all right?
Yeah.
All right. Let me get to the point here.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. I think I'm going with Tomlin and Big Ben.
I think you're right.
I think I am.
I think that's it.
Because honestly,
Harbaugh is a Harbaugh.
Oh, I know.
And Harbaughs are weird.
I know.
Like
John Harbaugh
is
and Lamar could be a pretty good
that
one.
That could be a good one.
It could be one. All right, I'm going to say it goes Tomlin, Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. I'm going to go Vrabel, Tannehill second.
Yeah.
I am. Tannehill's a pretty big dude, and he's pretty explosive too. Mm-hmm. They might be one.
I think and then those are the top two.
Those and then are the Dan top Campbell, two?
Jared Goff hurts Dan Campbell, but who knows? Goff could be scrappy.
I know.
He's just got to ride the coattails of Dan.
He is tough. It depends, I guess, what the rules would be, too. It's like, all right, so after Dan Campbell kicks the crap out of the head coach he's fighting, yeah. Does he get to go help Goff?
Right.
Because if he does, then there could be trouble. So I don't know.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The rules have to be.
Is it coach versus coach?
Is it coach? That's what I mean. There's a lot of things here. Because, like, yeah, you know, I mean, it could be Campbell.
Yeah.
I mean, Goff could be fighting Big Ben.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, and then Campbell finishes off Tomlin.
Yeah.
And now he goes and helps Goff against Big Ben. It's over.
You know what we might need to do?
Yeah.
We might need to do a whole 32 through one
less
ranking.
Yeah. This might be a good Twitter poll question, actually. Yeah. It really might be. All right.
Good.
So I think we at least figured that out. I'm going to go Tomlin, Big Ben, Vrabel, Tannehill.
Uh-huh.
I'll go Campbell, Goff.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
That would be three.
Okay. Rivera Fitzpatrick is Pete's dark horse.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
I
hear
Ron
that.
Rivera. Fitzmagic, I'm not sold.
I'm not either.
I'm not sold.
Could be issues there.
That's a good one. I love that one. All right, a couple more. Let's just see. A couple more here. I want to do this one. ATX Waffle Master. Ahmed, my daughter and I love when you are on The Sims Pod. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. Can you give Charlotte a shout-out? She's probably both of your biggest 8-year-old fan.
Wow.
So Charlotte.
And I have a daughter named Charlotte. Of course I'll give Charlotte the 8-year-old a shout-out. What up, Charlotte? What up, Charlotte, daughter of at ATX Waffle Master?
Yeah.
How you doing?
So hopefully she's listening to the YouTube version.
Kristen has
bleeped out all the words.
Hey, it's all right. Hey, my Charlotte, they got to grow old some point. Got to learn some of these words.
Yeah. I think, you know, and like I listen to the radio, or not the radio, actually, you know, stream Spotify music.
Right.
And every one of my favorite songs, they're swearing all the
Definitely.
Time. I think it's out there now.
I would think
the cat
so.
Is out of the bag.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, I think in 10 years, you will be tame in comparison to what is allowed out there.
I hope so.
On the Twitterverse. Is there one more that I want to do? Oh, yeah. Let's do this last one. Pete, is that good? Right? This is good to wrap up, right? Okay, last one.
I have one thing I want to say, too, because I didn't hit it on the Sam Darnold part. Well, I just want to... Because I know...
Hey, Kristen, put this next to the Sam Darnold part.
Forget it, then. I won't.
No, you can do
You're right. It's stupid.
No, go ahead.
Well, somebody I know on one of those comments I saw wrote about, his completion percentage.
Oh, yeah, he did. I skipped over that one.
I know. Well, I just want to be like,
His intermediate passing completion percentage was in question.
Right. Like, oh, I understand that. But, you know, not all completions are created equal. That's where it's, again, we got to get out of this mold of we're just going to look at the bottom line and then try to make sense of it. You know, there has to be, you got to make sense and then look at the bottom line. I mean, that, at least to me, or you got to... investigate and evaluate and do those type of things to figure out why the bottom line is that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand. Listen, you could put a ton of quarterbacks there with the Jets the last 2 years. The completion percentage is going to be bad. You know, you're not being protected well. You got a bad pocket. People are touching you, hitting you all around you. That could lead to missing throws, you know. But you can also, this is where people are wrong. This is again, we'll go back to the Josh Allen, Wyoming thing a little bit to a degree. Here's another example of it. It was just like, you could throw the ball with great accuracy and throw eight completions in a row.
Right.
Eight incompletions in a row.
Yeah.
Go, I'm watching film and go, he put that ball on the spot. Guy's not open. Nobody's open.
Yep.
He put it in the only spot his guy could maybe get it. Incompletion. Oh, next play. Oh, man, you mean Herndon, Chris Hogan and Braxton Berrios didn't get open on this play? Who? I said Herndon, Braxton Berrios, and Hogan. Who? I said they're not open. Oh, he threw a good ball, but nobody's open. So that leads to completion percentage. Don't look at the bottom line. All of this. What was there to – who was open? Jamison Crowder was the only guy that was worth a damn last year at receiver. They can't run the ball. They weren't great at protecting. Nobody's open. Yeah, it's going to lead to some bad moments. Then you get frustrated, you force a ball, or you make a bad read because you're trying to make a big play. You know, all these things are affected by this. So don't just – he's still an accurate thrower is what I'm saying.
That was gnawing at you. You wanted to get that.
I meant to get it in then, and I don't know what changed my mind to get it. I got off of it, so sorry.
I didn't ask the question. That's on me. Last one. Chad Barrett. I believe I've heard you say you could get into fantasy this year and make a team. Would you draft a team for the pod and see how they do each week? Now, this got me thinking of an idea that we had last year, and I think it'd be kind of cool if you, Paul, me, Pete, four of us.
Right.
What if we did a draft one time on the pod?
Right.
Like a full team draft. I'm talking like draft centers, left guard, right guard, maybe just offensively here, and just see at the end of the year, like which team would have won, you know, which team had the better year.
Right.
I think it'd be kind of interesting.
I'm cool to do that. Or even, you mean like, or what if we just like, you and I had our own fantasy team and we just entered against somebody?
We just pick a fantasy team. We get in the league.
We'll do a Sims Unbutton fantasy team, or maybe we invent our own league or whatever, and we just get involved in it.
With, like, our own rules, with, like, something that's, like what we believe in. Like, it'll be air yards.
We could do that. I think I'd be for that.
All right. Some sort of fantasy league.
If you could do it with me, whether we join a fantasy league, start one through the podcast or whatever, but if you could be my – I need somebody to be my teammate.
Yeah.
I don't want to always be the one juggling around rosters on a Sunday and things like that. Like
I can run.
But as long as we could have a talk through the week and like we can do stuff like that.
You help draft the team.
Right.
We talk during the week on who to start.
Right.
I say that I'll run the team.
Yeah.
But it'll actually fall on Pete's lap to do all the hard work with it. You know? So
just
what
Pete wants. That's what he wants. Seven more shows.
All right. So we're going
to
figure that out.
Yeah.
Pete, we're going to put our minds together.
All right. Let's do it.
We're going to do some sort of fantasy element
this year.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
I like it.
All right. We'll do that. That's it.
That's it.
That's the AMA.
Cool. Yeah. All right. We had a good one today.
I think we covered a lot of ground, right?
We covered it all. I mean, we covered everything. Is anything going on in football? Did anybody get traded while we were sitting here? No. Nope.
Oh, that was so cool last time we did that, right? The breaking news with Eric Fisher signing with the Colts.
That was cool.
That was the highlight of the pod.
Biggest thing right now is the Broncos have 70% of their players now at phase two of their offseason program.
Oh, they're all showing up.
Yeah, you're damn right they're all showing up. They're going, damn, I'm not getting hurt and losing $10 million like Juwan James.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a real big thing going on right now. Ryan Kerrigan did sign with the Philadelphia Eagles as a pass rusher.
Okay.
He left Washington. Now he's with the Eagles, the rival. So that'll be cool. That's the only thing that's gone down here.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
What do you got Wednesday?
Monday. I mean, Wednesday, we definitely got Big Phil. He's good. He's got no skin doctor, nothing like that. He actually called at the end of last week. So we'll do that. Okay. And then I don't know exactly what we're going to talk about.
Preview
yet.
Of the top 40.
Which
I think is like it'd be good to set the ground rules of what goes into it each
year. You're right.
And I always think it's important to point out is that you're putting this quarterback on an average team with an average coach, right? Taysom Hill's not getting Sean Payton.
No,
you know?
Exactly right.
So
no, exactly right. We're evaluating the player for the player, not the surrounding cast or what the stats were, the win-loss record or anything like that. Yes, there's no doubt. There is no doubt in my mind that if you put Matthew Stafford on any of the teams that were in the playoffs last year, they would still be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's how I'm going to evaluate.
All right.
Yeah, I think I'm right with that. Okay, I am. Good.
All right.
All right, everybody. Peace out. Enjoy the 2 days. Be good. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Ahmed, you the man. Clap it up.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.